Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, like what was on the site, said it's going to be a pretty interesting interview. And I'm looking very much forward to it, and I'd like to bring him on right away. His name is Joe. So, Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nancy. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak on Internet radio, so I'm hoping a lot of people are listening. Should I just say a little bit about my background?
Yeah, talk a little bit about who Joe is, and then
Okay. We'll
get into the topic.
Okay. Well, Joe is, I'm an attorney. I have my own practice. I was politically asleep until about 2000 when George Bush showed up on the political scene. He woke me up, just like Ronald Reagan woke me up 20 years before. And from that point forward, I was paying attention more. And then when 9/11 occurred, I started looking at that a few years later. In the beginning, I didn't believe the story, but I didn't look at it too closely. But in about 2005, I founded the Boston 9/11 Truth Committee with another individual, Chris. And since then, for the last 5 years, we've sponsored many movies, 9/11 Truth movies. We've had people come in and give conferences, weekend conferences, and talks like David Ray Griffin and Richard Gage and a number of other people. And, you know, we keep plugging away. So, that's what this interview is about, trying to break through these roadblocks that seemingly are set up in many people's minds as to what happened that day.
You know, I find it really fascinating because for many, many years, I'll tell you a little bit about myself, Joe. Many, many years, I have seen visions and been told different things. And one of the visions that I saw was what happened on 9/11, but I was a young child, so I had no idea what I was looking at or what I was going to see and where it was coming from or any of that. But I kept seeing this vision kind of repeat itself a few times throughout my life so far. And it was the 9/11 attack. But because I didn't know what it was, it didn't make any sense until I saw it. And so in my visions, I saw buildings collapsing, but again, I didn't know what they were. So it took me off guard when I actually saw that and could, you know, get it through my logic brain that that's what I was seeing. And there are many, many people, I'm sure, that are out there, Joe, that had feelings of something going on but couldn't tell what they were, because many people get that intuitive something bad going but can't quite pinpoint it until it happens. And so that particular day, it took me off guard. But for a whole month before that, I'm not a lady who cries a lot, but tears would just stream down my face. And I thought, gee, what's that all about? Because, you know, I don't usually do things like that. So when that happened, of course, those tears stopped. So that told me a lot. But there are many people who have this very hard time believing that any country, any nation would do that kind of a horrendous attack. And they have a harder time believing that our government could be any part of it. Now, if people really dug in and really, and I mean really dug in and started looking at all the information that's really out there that has not been censored yet or taken off of the Internet, they could probably come to the same conclusion that you're coming to. Most of the people won't take the time because they don't want to face the reality that is the possibility. Would you agree with that?
Definitely, and I think a big piece of the problem is that human beings, including myself, the first decision or view we have of an incident or an event seems to get embedded in our brains, and we take it on as part of our identity. And for anybody to say, like myself, to my friends, like Jim and Kat who are listening now, I keep on talking to my friends, but I'm probably not the best person in terms of trying to get across my points. But I always fall back on, well, all you need to do is go to my website, which is 911insidejob.com. And there you'll find out all the articles, and you can see all the videos that I've looked at and all the articles I've read that have me come to my conclusions as to what happened on that day. And I only do it for that purpose. I'm trying to make it easy for people if they're interested in looking beyond the official 9/11 conspiracy theory that George Bush and his people put out there on 9/11, and then from that point forward said, do not fall prey to 9/11 conspiracy theories. But theirs is a conspiracy theory. Nancy? Hello?
I'm here. I just had to change the volume on something. On your website, because I looked at it, and I went through many of the articles that you actually have on there. And some of the articles, you know, could leave a lot for people to think, well, you know, that, you know, maybe it's true or maybe it's not. I also looked at a lot of your videos. But there was one video that I saw, and I can't stop the thought of this video. And it was only shown one time, and it was not shown again. And the video was of Osama bin Laden walking into their hut or wherever they meet and talking his native language, but it was being also translated by a person who, one, did not work for the United States government, two, was just a normal everyday person that they took off the street, okay? And his comment was, they told us it was going to be on Thursday. Now, I know Osama took this whole thing that it's all his idea. He did all of it. He planned it. He created it. It's him, him, him. But yet, even with that video, it sounds to me like he was told that this is what was going to be done. He probably trained the people for it, but he's not the one that ordered it. It doesn't appear, okay? But regardless of that, we went after Hussein. So can you maybe, with some of your research, tell us, the listeners, why, if they think it is Osama, why they went after Hussein?
Well, first of all, the only people who think it's Osama bin Laden is Bush and his administration. And his administration has about 30, or had about 30 dual Israeli citizens in it. And they were mostly involved in making determinations and decisions on Middle Eastern policy. With that said, like I said, his administration is the only people who point the finger at Osama bin Laden. The FBI's most wanted list, Osama's on it, but not for 9/11. And they've been asked directly, why not? And their response has always been, we have no evidence that he was involved. I mean, Osama bin Laden, if you just look at it, he was a CIA operative. He was trained by us to fight the Russians in Afghanistan. He was on the CIA payroll probably up through 9/11. He is denied being involved in this.
Yes, totally, he did. And I heard that. See, again, with what my intuition tells me, it wasn't him. It was truly from another source. You know,
the reality is, I don't think it takes too much time to realize that 19 Arab terrorists couldn't defeat the defense systems of this country, the most sophisticated defense systems ever created in the history of the world. It was clear that on that day, the Air Force and NORAD was stood down. No planes got in the air in 2 hours. Dick Cheney was in the basement of the White House being told by, I'm not sure exactly who, that the plane is coming. It's a half hour out. It's 20 minutes out. And every time he was told that, he said, is there any change in the orders? And Cheney said no. You know, so there was an obvious stand down of the U.S. military.
Well, the other thing that I find very, very hard to get past is how Bush sat in that classroom while the U.S. is being attacked in that horrendous way and continued to read to those children.
It's mind-boggling to me because I actually hear some of my friends, and generally speaking, I think they're intelligent, and then they are. But it's amazing how people have different views of that incident. But the only thing I think is important to look at regarding that, you know, Bush sitting in the classroom for 20, 25 minutes after he was told we were under attack, and also everyone knew. Anybody who wanted to know would know where he is. So the Secret Service, their only obligation, and they don't ask the president, do you mind if we protect you today? They grab the president and take him out. They didn't do anything. that's obvious to me, at least, that the Secret Service knew what was going on. Obviously, George did, but the Secret Service did, or else they would have pulled him out of the room immediately.
Yeah, so, for a lot of the listeners who are listening, who may have just tuned in, we are going to open the phone lines, but I am going to caution you. I don't want a bunch of, arguing. I don't want a bunch of people, trying to give my guest a hard time. What I would like if people are going to call in is to ask us a viable question, a question that maybe has been bugging you since 9/11, and see if we can help you answer it. Those are the kind of questions I want. If there are any other derogatory, questions and stuff, please don't call in today. But if you are really genuine in your thought as to what may have been caused or still confused with what may have happened, your calls are very welcome. Now, Joe, let's go to your website a little bit, because you've got a tremendous amount of information on the website. I mean, you talk about Obama, 9/11, voting, elections, Zionism, bailout, terror wars, Iran, Iraq. I mean, you talk about all of it. Now, because you have so much information on there, and it's up to you if you'd like to answer this or not, has there been any type of threats of any kind made to you about taking it down?
Oh, no, not at all. Nope, none at all. But no, simple answer, no.
Okay, how about threats to you?
Well, I've demonstrated in the center of the town where I live, with big signs, 9/11 was an inside job, on a number of occasions over the last 5 years. And the worst threats I get is love it or leave it, or calling me a communist, or why don't you get out of this country, that kind of stuff. But nothing else, really. I mean, I used to have bumper stickers all over my car, and so some people would, be a little aggressive with me sometimes. But besides that, nothing.
Okay. I mean, I think it's great, Joe, that you've gone out and you've done a lot, and I do mean a lot of digging. But, do you really believe that we will ever get the truth?
It's possible, but, when I'm asked that question, I think of JFK assassination. And, people, when I bring that up, and it's obvious to me that that was an inside job, he was taken out, we won't get into it, but not by Lee Harvey Oswald. The only thing I ever heard Lee Harvey say on TV, he said, "I'm a patsy," just like the 19-Arab terrorists were patsies. So will it ever be the truth be brought out? I doubt it, but it could. Because for the truth to be brought out, and in my opinion, everybody in the White House, everybody in Congress, except for a few people like Cynthia McKinney and Ron Paul, although Ron Paul doesn't come out directly about 9/11 being an inside job, they're all complicit. But the fact that they don't even say, why don't we look into this a little? It doesn't seem to make sense to me. You never hear anybody, no media, no one in Congress, no one in the White House, President Obama, he's another pawn. When they killed Kennedy, that was the end of the game. Presidents have no power anymore because they realize that they'll be dead unless they do the bidding of their puppet masters.
And for the 9/11 attack.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. What purpose do you think that did? I mean, what was the purpose for that kind of an attack, and leave it like it is? Why would they do that? What would we gain?
Well, I mean, that's what Hitler did. He had a false flag attack on the governmental building, then blamed, I think, the communists. And it's false flag attacks have been going on from the beginning of history. Governments use them to put people in fear and to get their way, to have their agenda brought forward. The agenda of the Bush administration was the neocons who were trying to get into power. They did. They stole two elections to put George in because he was their puppet. The neocons wanted the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act was very, 250, 300 pages, I think. It was on the table in Congress, ready to be voted on in a week or two. It couldn't have been drawn up. It was drawn up much before 9/11. So my simple point is that the purpose of 9/11 is multifaceted, but basically it's to put the people in this country in fear so they will be willing to give up some of their freedom so the government could have more say in what they want to do. The other big piece is the fake war on terror. I mean, they immediately started blaming Iraq. I think most people know, even that was all based on lies, trying to blame Saddam Hussein for 9/11. So the purpose of it is to have a fake war on terror because the Cold War ended and the military-industrial complex had no big moneymaker, profit-making ways of going about making a lot of money. So they have now a fake war on terror, just like they had the Cold War. And I'll end on this. I don't want to talk too much. But underneath that, what I've started to see over the last 3 or 4 years is that the people who make the most money in war is not the military-industrial complex. It's the private international central bankers, namely the Federal Reserve Bank, the Bank of England. Every developed country in this world, the best I know, and I'm not an expert on anything. I just want the listeners to know that. I'm just talking based on what I've read and my common sense and my wisdom telling me what's true and what's not. But the Federal Reserve Bank, the private central bankers, they're the ones that lend money to both sides of any war, and they always get paid back. The countries couldn't fight wars unless they were able to borrow money. And who best to borrow it from than a private for-profit bank that creates money out of nothing and then lends it to you and earns interest on it?
That's pretty good. We do have a caller on. So, caller, could you please give us your name and then ask your question?
Yes, it's Gail in Tennessee.
Hi, Gail.
Okay.
Hi, how are you?
Your question or statement?
A breath of fresh air here. Yes. Now, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions, and I think that there were dual reasons. This was kind of like the mother load for them. They could get a war started. They could also go into Afghanistan and Iraq eventually for natural resources, specifically oil. The Caspian Sea pipeline immediately after, just about after we got in there, they started building on that to run over to Israel. There's a lot of hands in this big old pie. Another thing that I've read, and really truthfully, this is no longer conspiracy. I think a lot of it is fact, if it just will finally get out to all the public. But, you know, what about all the gold that was down underneath, you know, in that basement area of the towers, and it was so hot they couldn't get to it for, I don't know, like 6 weeks, 8 weeks. A bunch of gold down there underneath the bank. And you remember Cantor Fitzgerald and how their floor was just about all wiped out? Well, I've read about that there were some bonds that came due the next day on September 12th. And we're talking about a significant billions of dollars worth of bonds. I'm curious as if you can add anything to that.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Joe.
You know, honestly, I've heard about the gold in the sub-basements of the World Trade Center. Cantor Fitzpatrick or Gerald?
Cantor Fitzgerald.
I've heard briefly about that. But, I mean, what's your name again, please?
Gail.
Gail, what I'm more interested in is that the two twin towers, for the first time in the history of the world, two steel frame buildings fell almost at free fall speed onto the tower. Is really not, they fell on their footprint, but it wasn't a traditional controlled demolition because it's, I gather, because it's such a tall 110-story building. They blew it apart. But if you watch you see the demolition wave going down the building. But the simple point is that people always, they even question physics sometimes, some people I talk to, but a building cannot fall through itself as if it's not there. And that's what both of the Twin Towers
did. They so much don't want to believe that our government was in on this.
Well, you know, when the CIA was created back in 1948 or so, they overthrew the Iran government. And they've been killing hundreds of thousands of people, overthrowing governments all around the world for the benefit of the military-industrial oil private central banking complex. I don't get what 3,000 American lives, why people wouldn't believe that they would do that. They've killed a million Iraqis for oil.
I know.
Gil, do you have a question?
It's horrendous what they have done. I'll listen off air to the rest. It's a very interesting show, and I'm glad you've got him on today. And we'll hope and pray that the American people wake up.
I hope so.
Before it's too late.
Thank you very much, Gail. Thanks for the call-in. Joe, you know, I'm sure there are many people sitting there, you know, going, no, this can't be. But, again, give out your website because it has a lot, and I do mean a lot, of information that, if nothing else, not because I think you're trying to persuade them, but at least should make them start to think. So
please give
out your website again.
Well, Nancy, you know, I have to say that I've noticed I'm checking in with myself here, and I think I might have told you when we spoke earlier in the day that I have a tendency, since I'm Southern Mediterranean, whatever, but I get emotional sometimes. So I'll try to tone down my commentary, but my website is, which is a good thing. You don't have to listen to me, because I gather that a lot of people get turned off when someone gets emotional or overbearing, maybe. I try not to, but sometimes I do. But my website's 911insidejob.com. It's also .net and .org. And the other thing is that almost all the videos and articles are not mine. I just get online, and I have some trusted websites that I go to, and I post articles and videos. But the other thing, I have about 5 videos of myself on YouTube and on my website, and I have several articles of mine. But one thing is interesting, I think, is that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was talking about the demise of the freedom of the press in this country, and he said something that really put a light bulb off in my head. He said that in the last, you know, 15, 20 years, the ownership of the almost all of the media, the print, the radios, the TV, are in the hands of 5 huge multinational corporations. And he said, this is the thing that I didn't realize, he said as a result of that, there's a lot of results, but one is that 80% of investigative journalists lost their jobs. Those guys, some of those men and women are still around, and they're still investigating and writing articles and books, and you could find them on the Internet. You can't find them in mainstream media because they lost their job. Or you can't find them in mainstream media because what they're saying, the mainstream media will not report. It's the best hidden secret, I think, in the world is the private central bankers. The Rothschilds created the current modern banking system, which allows banks to fractional banking lend from 10 to 100 times as much as they have in their vault and earn interest on it. That's one little piece of it. The big piece is they go around, these private central bankers, and they gain control of the printing of the money for a country. And if you look at the history of the federal, the private central banks in this country, this is the third reincarnation of a private central bank, you will see presidents from Jefferson on, Jackson, President Kennedy just passed an executive order 6 months before he was killed that was going to have the government start taking over the power of printing money. Because every time the Federal Reserve Bank prints a dollar, we go into debt to them. We're in debt to the Federal Reserve Bank, huge amount of money, much more than any other country. We're in debt to them more than any other entity in the world. But it's a hidden secret. But it isn't really a secret. If you get online, you could read books about, you know, private central banks and how insidiously evil they are.
But the other thing is, and, you know, you brought this out, you know, money is being printed every day, and yet there's nothing to back it. You know, so by all rights, if people would stop and think about this, our country has been bankrupt for a very long time. And, you know, I don't think people realize that because they just keep printing more money. And at some point in time in history here, if you have nothing to bank that, you know, to back that money, it does collapse. And, you know, there's a lot of other countries out there right now that are, you know, announcing that they are bankrupt. You know, and so I think it's pretty interesting. We do have another caller on. So, hi, caller. Can I have your name and either your comment or your question?
Hello, is that me?
That's you.
Hi, this is Kathleen. I'm calling from Massachusetts. And I had a question for Joe regarding the cell phone calls that were made that day. As I understand it, the idea of the use of box cutters came from Barbara Olson on her flight. And later we find when we read the case of Zacharias Moussaoui that, in fact, the FBI admitted that the four cell phone calls attributed to Barbara Olson, in fact, never took place, and that, in fact, it is highly unlikely that any of the 11 cell phone calls alleged to have been made that created this story could have possibly been made. Do you have any additional details on that, Joe?
Only that I've read articles from people who electrical engineers, and, you know, at that point in time, cell phones did not work at 30,000 or even 20,000 feet. I mean, I have to say, the information on my website is more on my website than in my head. I mean, a lot of it is not, you know, doesn't remain intact in my head. But bottom line on the cell phones is I think they were just made up. I think the people who were perpetrated the attacks on 9/11 could easily have done that.
Well, isn't it? I mean, I find it unbelievable that, in fact, a major aspect of the 9/11 conspiracy theory, the government's 9/11 conspiracy theory regarding the cell phone calls, is not more common knowledge. I mean, if in fact a call between Barbara Olson and her husband could not have taken place, then what are we to believe about the other cell phone calls that the government tells us took place when in fact the government produced no evidence initially that they did take place, and now we have a key element of Zacharias Moussaoui's acquittal based on a fact related to cell phone calls that could not have taken place. So, where is MSNBC? Where is CNN? Where is Fox? Why isn't every American aware of the fact that this particular component of the story is very likely made up? Because, in fact, our own FBI, who doesn't want bin Laden, by the way, for this crime, in fact admitted in a federal court that those calls never took place.
It's amazing, Nancy, because every element of the official 9/11 conspiracy theory doesn't make any sense. But meanwhile, the media doesn't question it. No one speaks about it. No one in Congress is bringing it up. It's as if it's old news and it doesn't matter. But it really does matter, because everything that's happened since 9/11 has brought this country not only, well, financially has destroyed the country, but it gave access and power to George Bush and his people to take, the country down in many ways, environmentally, financially, morally. The media doesn't report on anything of that nature that's going to point a finger at the government.
The only station right now that is really at war with everything is Fox. Now,
really?
When it was first going on, Fox was their best supporter. And Fox was like back, and no matter what was said, Fox, you know, would sit there and agree. But for some reason, something is going on that's not making the Obama administration happy, and they are at war with Fox. So, you know, it would be interesting to see what comes of that. And a lot of people don't know that that's going on, but it is. You know, and to answer your question about the cell phone, it is part, I would think, I'm not in that plane, part of the whole thing to keep the people in the dark and to keep the people going, okay, we're under terrorist attack 24/7, you know, which I think is ludicrous. Because when people constantly believe that we were, you know, being terrorized, under attack, they get fearful, they get weak, they allow these people that we are talking about to come in and take everything we have, including our freedom. And so
exactly.
That's a big thing here. Our constitutional rights, we have not had them in a very, very long time. And if people don't remember what that Constitution says, they really should take the Constitution, you can get it off of the internet, and read it. I think it's going to surprise you and horrify you at the same time. So, Catherine, do you have more to add? Is she still there? She must not be there.
She's gone.
You know, now, you also talk about the Federal Reserve Bank and the Bank of England. I don't believe that most people, Joe, understand how they, the central bank, I should say, the private central banks, the Federal Bank Reserves and the Bank of England, how they are managing to do what you're saying. So could you maybe go into depth a little bit more about the banks?
Sure. Before I do that, I just want to briefly say, with all of this said, I think the smoking gun, there are many smoking guns, but you just have to look at Building 7, a 50-story building that collapsed on its footprint in free fall time at 5:40 p.m. on September 11th. The 9/11 Commission never mentioned the building because it's clearly a traditional controlled demolition. With that said, the Federal Reserve Bank, what's your question again, Nancy?
I was asking how, before we do that, we have another caller, so let's take
sure.
that and then I'll ask again. So, caller, can I have your name, please?
Yes, hi, this is Kat from Medfield. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Kat.
Okay, how about some comments?
I have some questions. We have, there are about four or five people here listening to this, and we had a couple things we just wanted to ask. I guess our comments in general is we're half believers and half skeptics. We applaud what Joe's doing and all the research he's done. Our questions are, I have just a very basic one. A lot of what he says makes sense, but I still have a very difficult time understanding why would the government go to this level, to this extreme? What was the purpose of it? What is the bottom line purpose?
The bottom line purpose is to take over the oil and natural gases in the Middle East, because the very next day George was pointing a finger at Saddam Hussein, who had no connection to Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is a creation of the CIA. If you look at it, if you look into that, I think you could find out enough information to see that. But the purpose is to do what we've done since that time. We've attacked Iraq and Afghanistan. We're saber-rattling to take over the oil and natural resources of Iran. That's enough to fill the coffers of the private central bankers and the military-industrial complex. Throw on top of that the fake war on terror. They've
mm-hmm.
been spending so much money supposedly defending this country, and over the last 8 years, the only people who've been able to defeat, supposedly, get onto a plane and maybe try to bomb it, are individuals, two or three
okay.
individuals. So I'm rambling
so
a little bit.
3,000 people had to die to get to that level, and the extreme of having that many planes, it just seems so complex. And I guess I find it hard to believe that the government could have even pulled it off, because I was obviously not a supporter of that administration. I find the details and all that was involved with it. How could it be pulled off? And the number of people that would have had to been involved to pull that off, that not one person has come forward and said that this is, you know, was all a scam and they were part of it?
Let me answer that very simply. You're saying, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, if first of all, any CIA person or Secret Service person, you know, intelligence person, and I've read many of them saying there's no way that this could have been pulled off by people. It was a government operation. But at the same time, what you're saying is this is such a difficult, complex operation. But meanwhile, it seems like you're willing to believe that 19 Arab terrorists who never flew a 747, a 757, they were able to defeat the defenses of this country. It doesn't seem to make sense to me that, in one hand, you think it's really complex and George couldn't have done it. George didn't do it.
Right.
Elements of the military in this country and Secret Service in Pakistan and the Mossad, the Secret Service of Israel, they're the ones that do it. They're the experts at pulling off false flag attacks. The Mossad has been doing it for 45 years.
Uh-huh.
So that's my answer. Simple.
Okay. Can we ask one more, or is there someone else waiting to speak?
No, that's okay, Ken. I'd like to add a little bit to that, okay?
Sure.
And this, people are still going to have a very hard time accepting also, is that our government and a lot of the other governments are all trying to do this one world order, which means there's one law, one rule, one government that runs the whole kit and caboodle. What better way to do it than to constantly have people believe that they are going to be terrorized to get what they want? Now, a lot of people don't see that either. But it's going on. It's going right on, right under everybody's noses right now. And part of it is with the banks, and part of it is with all the governments. So really, Kat, nothing should surprise people at this point as to what governments, what agencies, what banks will go to in order to have this one world order under them.
Uh-huh. Well, let me just add one thing to that, Nancy. I'm not saying that every government employee is evil, by no means. I mean, most people in government, most people in the bank down the street, they're good people. It's just that they don't know what's going on, because that's how conspiracies, that's how strategies are formulated, and that's how they're successful. You only know the information you need to know. So the lower rungs of people in government or whatever, or banks, they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The agenda. They don't know the big time, you know, the overall agenda of any organization.
They can't know. They're too much afraid of living in fear with everything to kind of check them. But Kat, you have another question?
Well, just to add to what you just said, I understand what you're saying there, but you had made the comment someone's holding Obama's puppet strings. Well, I understood when you were talking about the Bush administration, and we could probably name names there, Cheney, but what's going on with Obama? So you're implying that Obama is involved with this one world, thing that's happening?
Kat, and a simple answer is yes. I mean, I've done a lot of reading of articles. There's at least 40 or 50 articles about, all you have to do is look at who Obama has appointed. He appointed the head of the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, that is the bank in the Federal Reserve System that's the most powerful. They're the ones that created this horrendous situation, and then he hires the head of the Federal Reserve Bank to run the Treasury. That's what people do when they want to cover up the crimes, for instance, of the Federal Reserve Bank. They put on the payroll the guy who did it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But look at all the people that Obama has appointed in his administration. The his chief of staff in the White House, that a lot of people, politically knowledgeable people, say is a very, very powerful position, was a dual citizen with Israel. He fought in the Israeli army. His father was an Israeli terrorist fighting against the British to get the British out of Israel. And here he is, chief of staff of the White House. I mean, if any other nationality had that happening, people would be up in arms. But unfortunately, the Rothschilds funded the creation of the Anti-Defamation League in the early 1900s, and they got it so set up that you cannot speak against anybody who happens to be Israeli, because then you're considered anti-Semitic. Well, and it's unfortunate, because it doesn't matter to me who's perpetrating the crimes. It just matters that the crimes need to be uncovered.
Thank you. We appreciate your answers, and we will. It's interesting. And
do you have another question?
Do we have one more? Wait, I guess we just have my one. This one actually comes from my daughter, who's listening with us. When you were talking about the cell phone coverage, which we thought was very interesting, we had no idea that couldn't even technically have happened. Then what calls were actually received by these families? Were the families actually, are you then saying the families were in on this conspiracy? Because many of us heard families speak on TV and the radio and played tapes of the last words from their loved ones and things like that. So how do you explain that?
Pat, I've read articles, and I know there's technology out there that you could morph. So you could just record someone's voice for 10 seconds, and then the technology allows you to morph that voice so it sounds exactly like that person. But with that said, I really think it's a red herring because, first of all, I don't know everything about, I can't answer all questions about what happened that day. But I do know what I know, and I do know that there was no plane in Pennsylvania that crashed, you know. And I do know that because I've seen Fox News and CNN on site that day saying it's a very unusual crash site. There's no plane here. So, I mean, why wouldn't anybody since that day ever question that? But not one media person has ever even looked at the film and said, that's interesting. I wonder what happened. Or where's the plane at the Pentagon? I mean, Jamie McIntyre, CNN, is reporting on the lawn of the Pentagon before the building collapsed, and he's saying, from my observation here, a plane doesn't seem to have hit the Pentagon. You will not, that was never shown again after September 11th. You could see it on my website. So all I'm saying is that every four places, New York City, Pennsylvania, and D.C., there's a lot of questions, and they're not being asked, and they're not being answered. So if Obama is such an honorable, good person, I don't buy it because simply, you know, he's complicit. He's bought into the war on terror, and he thinks 9/11 was, he buys into the official 9/11 conspiracy theory. I mean, you know, it doesn't make logical sense to me that an intelligent man wouldn't even question it. So, same with Clinton, doesn't question it. Same with everybody in the government, except for a few.
But publicly question it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm publicly questioning it right now. Why wouldn't I? I'm paying them to come, you know, to run the country and to tell the truth.
Right. Well, it's fascinating, and we appreciate it, and we'll give somebody else a chance. But thank you.
Great. Thanks for calling, Kat.
Okay. Take care.
You too. Now, the question I asked you before, Joe, is with the central bank, the Federal Reserve Bank, the Bank of England, with those banks being part of, you know, what you're talking about and on your website, how does that help their banks? What does it do, you know, for them? And how harmful is it for people like myself, people like you, the common, ordinary, everyday person?
Well, and I'm not an expert on this by no means, but what I've read tells me that, and Ronald Reagan appointed the Grace Commission, and they studied where does our tax dollars actually go. And they came to the conclusion that none of our tax dollars go to where we think they go. And I've read articles that say that our tax dollars go to pay the debt to the Federal Reserve Bank. They don't go for the, you know, to support the infrastructure of this country. I know it sounds really outlandish, and in this area, I'm not as knowledgeable by any means. I just started looking at it about 3 years ago. But everybody from Jefferson to Alexander Hamilton. Benjamin Franklin. I've read articles that said, he said one of the main reasons for the Revolutionary War was to get out under the yoke of the Bank of England, to get out of out from underneath a debt-based monetary system where every dollar they print puts you and me into debt. I know they try to make it complicated. And believe me, even when I try to explain it, it sounds complicated. But the simple fact of the matter is that, to me at least, a private for-profit bank does not have the constitutional right to run the monetary system of this country. And by run, I mean it controls the supply of money and it controls the interest rate. And those two elements, they make bubbles, economic huge, you know, like the Roaring Twenties. The Federal Reserve Bank created the Roaring Twenties, and then they popped the bubble. They created the last bubble that was busted a few years ago. They created by simply tightening money supply or increasing money supply. My father, with a fifth grade education, I remember him telling me, you know, the Federal Reserve Bank created the Great Depression. They purposely did it. That's how they make money. They keep drawing. They keep on siphoning off more and more of the middle class's wealth. It keeps getting brought up to the top.
I find that the middle class is something that will probably be extinct very soon if it's not changed, because according to what I've been told by a lot of other people, that the One World Order is designed to have an upper class and then the very much lower class without a middle class in there. And if we don't change that very soon, we may find that to be true. And I know a lot of people are going, yeah, right, but think about this. Who gets taxed the most? Is it the rich guy? No. Is it the poor guy? No. It's the middle guy, the ones that's working, busting their butts really, really hard, trying to make a living, trying to do all the things they're supposed to be doing for their family.
But people think that the Federal Reserve Bank was put there to stabilize the economy. Then why is it that in the last 50 years, it used to take one breadwinner to support a family. Now it takes two or three to support a family. And the value of the dollar has decreased 95% since the Federal Reserve Bank was created. Meanwhile, they were supposed to stabilize the economy and the monetary system and keep the value of the dollar. Didn't happen, I guess, but they never got called on it. You know, they never called on anything. And if I may just say one thing on that, I mean, I guess the Senate passed, at least it got through the Senate, that they're going to do a one-time audit of the Fed. It's mind-boggling to me why they wouldn't say, well, why don't we look and see what they've done for the last 80, 90 years? Since they really haven't done a good job and the dollar value has decreased 95%, why don't we look back a little? Instead, they're going to do a one-time audit. They're going to do a little whitewash, and then it'll be business as usual, I think. It's my opinion.
I've also been told by several people that truly the world is run by probably 15 to 17 of the richest families around the world, Rothschilds being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people have a hard time believing that they control the stock market and they can do whatever they want. And it's shown that that's what's going on. The stock market is another thing for people to look at. I mean, just take a look at it, what's happening. You know, and again, then take a look at Joe's website. So, Joe, give out your website again, please.
Nancy, you're so nice to keep asking me for that. Because my website speaks much better at more length, of course, than I am. I only have an hour here, but it's 911insidejob.com or .org or .net. And there is a Google search function on the top right of the first page that you could plug in anything you want, and it'll search my website for articles based on that search. So there's a lot there. I mean, it started out when George stole the 2004 election by computer fraud. And from there, I've been posting articles and videos for the last 6 years about.
Yeah, I think actually, Joe, that a lot of the things that have gone on in our government started a lot longer before, you know, way before Bush got there. But I think that with, you know, the Bush administration, it pointed out a lot of things that I think people are having really still now today a tough time going, oh, man, it couldn't have been going on, and they just would rather blame it on, you know, the Bush to give them an excuse for things not happening the way they should. But it really, I believe, started long, long time before that, and it just keeps mounting and mounting as each election goes on.
I think so. When you say that, I think to myself that, you know, probably most people don't realize that Jack Ruby, who just happened to get into the Dallas police station and kill Lee Harvey Oswald before he ever had a chance to tell the truth. Jack Ruby was employed by Richard Nixon back in the late 40s as a congressional aide. You know, there's so many ties that are able to be found, and I applaud these investigative journalists, the very people who George Bush said, we're going to connect the dots. He didn't connect any dots because those investigative journalists lost their jobs. But they're still out there, like I said before, and
once you start looking at it and starting connecting some dots, it's like going down a rabbit hole. And if you are willing to keep going down the rabbit hole, you'll start uncovering more and more information that I think makes sense.
It's hard, Joe, for people to make sense of what's going on, especially if they don't open their minds enough to start looking. Because people can be told many, many things, but their logic mind is going to either agree or disagree. And chances are, if they don't want to hear something, it's going to totally disagree.
Oh, so exactly. It's very tough. It's been tough for me because it's hard for people to change their minds about what they think they know. And they think they know that the government's basically good, and there's no way they can kill 3,000 Americans. But at the same time, I guess Iraqi lives, 50% women and children, don't matter. And about a million Iraqis have died. So, again, what's the difference? There really is no difference. And I'll say, nationalism is another, you know, distraction. Nationalism, religion, there are ways of the people in power controlling the everyday person. So it's like flag-waving people who aren't willing to even consider that there's evil everywhere, including in the government. You just have to look and see the lobbyists and how much control they have of the Congress people today. One thing is very interesting is that JFK and Robert Kennedy were both trying to force Israel to comply with the new federal regulation after World War II, that any foreign person who's lobbying the Congress has to register as a foreign agent because of Germans. You know, they didn't want Germans lobbying the Congress. So Israel said, you know, guess what? Their lobby at the time, it was called, actually in the name of that lobby was Zionism or Zionist. It morphed right after Kennedy was killed. It became the AIPAC, you know, that would be the Israeli lobby today. But people generally don't know that both Kennedys wanted Israel to register as a foreign agent, and they went to court over it. And after he was killed, that was the end of the court. I don't know the history of the court, the history of the courtroom battle. But the point simply is that the Kennedys wanted Israel to register as a foreign agent, and they said, sorry, we're not going to do that. And they've been saying, sorry, we're not going to do that ever since. And guess what? You know, they made it clear, I think, you know, this is going probably way beyond what people are willing to consider as possible. But the more I look at it, the more I think that the Mossad and elements of the Israeli government were involved in 9/11, for sure, I think.
I would tend to agree. We're almost out of time, Joe. Mm-hmm. So you have on your website Thought of the Day, and I'm going to read it. It says, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Quote is by Thomas Jefferson.
Yep.
So,
it's been a struggle. You know, the private central bankers have been... They got, and I think in 1787, they got the first 20-year charter for a private central bank to be passed because they got Madison was their lobbyist, and he pushed it through, even though Benjamin Franklin was against it and Jefferson was against it. And then when that charter was about to end in the early 1800s, the Rothschilds threatened the Congress and the President and said, you renew the charter or else you're going to have a problem. And lo and behold, the War of 1812 occurred, and I read articles where the Rothschilds were directly involved with the starting of that war. But that went out. Then Jackson came in, and he, on his gravestone, it says, I killed the bank. They tried to kill him twice, or once, I mean. Both revolvers misfired, so he wasn't assassinated. But he knew the evil. Henry Ford knew the evil. Lindbergh knew the evil. There, if you start looking at it, you see throughout history of this country, the evil of a private central bank controlling the monetary system.
I know I keep saying it, but it's replete through history of this country that people in power know the evil of that entity. And meanwhile, here they are running the show still, and they're in the government with Obama. He's been appointing them, you know, like I said before, and the game goes on.
Joe, it's been great. We're almost out of time. In fact, we really are just a little bit out of time, but I'd like to thank you for being on. We're going to have you on again, you know, maybe in a month or so, okay?
Great.
We'll have you back on, and we'll talk about more. So one more time, Joe, before we go, give out your website again so everybody can get it.
Sure. It's 911insidejob.com, and I really appreciate the opportunity to speaking on hopefully around the world, and we'll see what the count on my website is tomorrow, see how many people.
Hopefully it'll be a lot. Anyway,
okay.
Thank you very much, Joe, for taking
the
time. You're very welcome. I'd like to thank you, the listeners, and the call-ins. I don't usually call in, but today was very special, very important, and I think everybody should hear what we talked about. So have a great week. May God bless all of you, and we'll talk again. Take care. Bye now.